Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Abby D., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 19th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 66, first paragraph starting with, "It is plain that a life," through one paragraph ending, "To drink is to die," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Anne Marie M. for the 12 steps, Jenny M. for the 12 traditions, Sima M. reading the text, and Susan S.H. reading page 164 at the closing. And thank you to Martha Z. for being our backup reader. The reference numbers for Wednesday, December 18th, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,003, and for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,008. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, this is Anne Marie M. Recovering compulsive overeater in South Carolina. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie M., for reading the 12 steps. I will now ask Jenny M. to read the 12 traditions. Thanks, Jenny.
Good morning. 12 traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group should never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these principles, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Jenny M., for reading the 12 traditions. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book on page 66 in the first paragraph. It is plain that a life through one paragraph ending to drink is to die, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. I will now ask Sima M. to begin reading. Thanks, Sima.
Thank you. Good morning. Sima M., grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery. I am so grateful for this opportunity to be the reader of the first text today. It's my first time doing this. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit, the insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. Well, I've been contemplating this since I found out that I was reading the paragraph. And I first came into OA 49 years ago in New York City. And I was very fortunate at the time that although most people in Manhattan at the meetings I went to didn't know the Big Book, that I did meet someone, a speaker at a meeting, who was many years recovered in AA and who did know the Big Book and who started workshops. And I diligently, and we used to record them on cassette players. So I did know about the program and I did build. Directions, and I was eager to do them. And so I don't know, I'm here to tell you why it took me 11 years ago when I came back to OA and was fortunate enough to be told about a vision for you, that my actual recovery from the disease of compulsive eating, as well as being able to work the steps. And the reason it took me so many years is because I did not know that I held grudges. I did not know. So therefore, even though I was willing to do the work, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I didn't understand why I kept going back to the food. And that's eventually why I left OA for a long time. But I do know that this program works, and I'm so very grateful that I can work it now. And the only explanation I can give why it didn't work for me initially is because I'm one of those people who suffered from grave emotional and mental disorders, but I eventually recovered because I do have the capacity to be honest, and I did get the help that I need over the years in emotional and chemicals, antidepressants for the clinical depression that I suffered from my whole life. And I'm so very grateful that my higher power tapped me on the shoulder 11 years ago and told me it's safe to go back now. You're going to get the message now. There's going to be other people now that are doing it. And I have to say, Vision for You has been my salvation on my reentry to OA. And I feel like I picked up where I left off 40-something years earlier with getting the message and getting the directions and getting the benefits of this beautiful, beautiful way to live, which was passed down to us from the original Bill Wilson and his original group that gave us this wonderful gift of how to live. And I'm very grateful to be able to say I'm living that today. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sima M, for getting us started today. All right, so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. Who would like to share today?
Melissa
Christina
J.
Nancy
S.
Rick Gay.
Reva P.
Nicole S.
All right, here's who I have. I have Melissa C., Christina J., Nancy C., Rick J., Reva P., and Nicole, missed your last initial. Let's start with that. Sorry if I missed you. Hopefully I'll get you next round. All right, let's start with Melissa C., followed by Christina J. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Abby. Thanks so much for taking the meeting. I appreciate your service. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this, and what I get is just because people wronged me or life is unfair does not mean that I get to be pissed off, annoyed, troubled. Like, pick the word. I can't be resentful. It's just all those words really mean resentful. And I'd have to say that this is, like, one of the ways that I'm different from normal men, because normal people, you know, I believe their lives are perhaps not well spent being pissed off, but they're not in actual danger of dying, and I am, you know. And what I also get from reading this is that I don't have to be a victim of my feelings anymore. Like, I actually have a choice, you know, because it says just to the precise extent that we permit these feelings of resentment. So do I give these feelings, permission to hang out? Because if I do that, I'm squandering my hours that would be worthwhile. I'm wasting my precious life. And I can't live in, you know, with resentment anymore. I can't give it permission to hang out in my harbor. You know, it's like I think about it like this. I can actually refuse to let them dock here. You know, like if I let my hurts and pains hang around, and I've done that by venting, you know, to allies, people that are going to agree with me, you know, or retelling the ways that people have wronged me, I am putting my food sobriety in danger. And I know to eat is to die. It will kill me. And, you know, for me, I always like try to, you know, think about the examples that I have where I can see that this is the truth. And the last time I really felt in danger of the food, I was, you know, it was 7 years ago, and I was on vacation with my family with a big group of other friends and their children and all our kids. And my daughter at the time was having a lot of problems back then, and she acted out in a way that was visibly public for everyone to see. She was smoking weed, she was drinking, and then she was shoplifting. And it all came out, and I was pissed, and I was embarrassed, and I was full of resentment and fear. Full of it. And for me, it's like danger, danger, danger. And what happened was suddenly, like, I was abstinent for all these years. The thought of an ice cream sandwich crossed my mind, and it felt pornographic. Like, I could picture it being unwrapped. And thank God for the directions of this text, because I did not eat, and I was able to resolve my resentments. My sanity was restored. You know, the ice cream sandwich never entered my mouth nor my mind. And, you know, I'm grateful. I'm just going to close with this, that because of this program, because of the way that I, you know, diligently worked it, I did not eat then. The situations with my daughter was resolved. She's like a productive, wonderful adult today. If I would have eaten, I would have destroyed everything. And I don't want to live that way anymore. I'm grateful I don't. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Melissa, thank you so much for sharing. All right, Christina J is up, and then followed by Nancy C. Christina J, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service. I came in February of 2014, and this is the very first paragraph you all were on. I'm grateful to be reading it now, over 10 years later, because today I'm experiencing the sunlight of the Spirit. And when I came in and I heard that, I was like, that's what's wrong with me. I don't have that. And I felt desperate. And I thought it was only about the food, but you know, my feelings, my resentments, my fears, all this stuff that owned me. I was never permitting them before program. They owned me, and I squandered hours writhing in fear at night in my bed, worrying that I wasn't doing things right. I'd never get to where I was hoping to go. You know, before program, this was a miserable place for me. And after my first four step, I saw, you know, all my character defects, defaults, whatever you want to call them. But I was an alcoholic with my emotions. So the food was one thing, but I was deeply alcoholic with my emotions. I had no idea. I saw what was wrong, but I couldn't get rid of it myself. Did not get rid of myself. And that's when we'll get into the fifth step later. But today I'm experiencing freedom from a large quantity. Let's say it's a pitcher full of all this gunk, right? A pitcher full. And I think that over half has been poured out. And I'm so grateful for the upper freedom I'm feeling. The deeper stuff still has to come up. But these things stole my life, stole over 65 years of my life. And I couldn't stop them. I didn't know how. And you know what it took? It took like the pain. The pain of the food, you know, surrenders me, and the pain of my emotions and my holding on surrenders me. That's what this beautiful fourth step is about, because we get to see what's holding us back, you know, from really living and being free inside of ourselves. I don't have to writhe around in fear anymore at night. I don't give a flying F about the things I used to be upset about, because today my life is God's. Today my life belongs to love. Today, my life belongs to service to my fellows and how I can use what I have found and give back. So these things don't own me anymore. And as Melissa so eloquently said, I can permit these or I cannot, because this is awareness. I've become aware. So I'm aware that I can permit these or not permit them. I can see them now. And to me, I don't want to live there because it's miserable. It's miserable. It's futility. It's unhappiness. So, again, grateful if you're out there and you haven't done this yet. Don't be afraid. You don't have to feel guilty or ashamed or anything. Dive in, because you'll discover things about yourself that then you'll continue to uncover the deeper parts. And it's just a life of letting go of the diseased parts of ourselves and continuing. This program is beautiful. This is really a way to come alive. Come alive. Got it passed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christina J. Next up, we have Nancy C., followed by Rick J. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hey, Abby. Thanks for taking the meeting. My name is Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and hello to all my visionaries. You know, we say that this program is not about the food. This paragraph makes it about the food for me, and it makes me very grateful that I'm in recovery, and it makes me very sad for the number of years I squandered, right? All in those hours of that bitter morass of self-pity, that the resentment of people did me wrong. I couldn't see any different, right? It was fatal. It was fatal. It caused me to just eat and eat and sit in my own little chair and blame everyone else for what was going on. And what do I do when I squander that? I do cut myself off from the sunlight of the spirit. I am not in reality. I'm not in the present. And I can't be of service to anyone, even myself. You know, I'm thinking about how I would walk around and be like Pigpen with, you know, all that stuff following me all the time. And that was normal feelings for me. You know, I would get up and go to work really early in the morning to look like I was, you know, a really good, employee. I'd get to those candy dishes and take all that food in the morning and then sit there and be pissed that nobody was doing their job. I wasn't doing my job. This is grave for me. If I cannot, if I stay in resentment, it is the number one offender for me because it does take me out of the moment. It takes me out of being of what God wants me to be. And it keeps me from taking responsibility for myself. If I have a resentment, it's with me, just like it says in the big book. And as we do get rid of resentments, as it says later, we become more efficient. We don't wallow. I don't wallow anymore in that crap. And I don't think of food as a step up from trying to make myself feel better. So this is a really important paragraph for me today because I lived it all my life. And thank God today there is a way to get rid of resentments and continue service to other people. And thank you for being of service today. Really appreciate it, Abby.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy C. from Michigan. All right, Rick J. followed by Reva P. Go ahead, Rick J.
Good morning. Thanks for your service, Abby, and thanks everyone for being here. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And, you know, I was just thinking about the, you know, the step three prayer, you know, when we're, you know, we're just basically giving ourselves to this, this power that can save us, transform us, because we've come to the point where we know that we are powerless. And my emotions block me from that power. And for me, resentment is the most powerful emotion that I experience. And that's just for me. But it consumes me. When I was living in anger, you know, these resentments, not to just one person or institution or situation, but so many that I had no way to, you know, to process these in a healthy way connected to a spiritual way of living. I had no way of doing that or knowing that. And I love it that when I'm reading this, you know, it's a reminder of why we continue to, you know, to watch out for these things. And, you know, as we work through, you know, in 10, 11, and 12, which basically, you know, is, you know, all the steps all the time. And when I got here, you know, and I was looking at these resentments, you know, I had never looked at, you know, what my part of that is. And we get to that more when we start talking about the fourth column. But, you know, I was a victim, and that led to self-pity. And it was like the magic magnifying mind. You know, these things were consuming me, and I began to hate these people with these resentments. I began to hate them, and I started hating myself. And all my anger started coming out sideways. And I would say things that couldn't be unsaid because it wasn't the situation in front of me. It was the situation behind me that was driving them, you know, like a bulldozer, just like a bulldozer, you know. And that's the way I started living my life. And, you know, it's just kind of get out of my way, get out of my way. Because I was so angry and I could not control the anger. I couldn't control the fear. I couldn't control anything. But that anger, that resentment, driving me and it was blocking me. There was no way I could ever connect with the power to transform me with those powerful emotions driving me. And to be able to look at that and to process this with someone and then later release it, step five. I mean, that's how I began to have a spiritual experience, that awakening that we continue to look for one day at a time and continue to nurture and grow. And just so grateful to be here living in a new freedom and a new happiness. I am so grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick J. All right. Just to let you know, if you just came in, I want to let you know where we're reading today. We're on page 66 in the first paragraph, starting with, "It is plain that a life," through one paragraph ending, "To drink is to die." And we're commenting on that one paragraph today. All right. Next up, we have Reva P., followed by Nicole J., maybe, or I might have missed your last initial. And then I'll take another lineup after Nicole. So let's start with Reva. You're up. Thank you.
Hi there. Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Oh, wow. Resentment. Do I know that well? And I remember binging at people because I was angry, so full of anger. And the more I got angry, the more I binged, and the more I binged, the more I got angry. And the only person I was punishing and hurting was myself. So for me, this paragraph is a warning that unlike, and I don't know, maybe normal people can afford anger, resentment, and fear, and harmful conduct in personal relations. But it's telling me that as a compulsive overeater, it's particularly fatal, grave. It's particularly troublesome because what is the purpose of doing this inventory process? It's to clear my channel so I have access to what it's telling me, the sunlight of the spirit, power that does for me what I can't do for myself. You know, step two, I need the power and I have to access the power. So if I'm going to sit in resentment or fear or continue to harm people and be inconsiderate, whatever that manifestation is, I'm going to be blocked. And if I'm blocked, I've just blocked myself off of the source of the thing that can help me. And how do I harbor? How do I permit resentment? It's not that I get angry. I think, you know, I can't prevent getting angry or have a little bit of resentment, but how do I harbor it and like have it glued to me? How do I harbor it? If I stay in steps in columns 1, 2, 3, I will just continue to conclude that people are wrong. If I don't move to column 4 and see where all my beliefs, my whole way of looking at things, gets me resentful, because you know I believe people should. The role that people play is to whatever provide the needs that I need. It's all backwards. It's all 180 degrees opposite. If I stay in step 4 and I don't move to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, if I don't get closer to step 10, where I get that neutrality and I start clearing the channel, having access in step 11, I'm harboring. So this to me is a warning. Move with the steps. It's not just step 4. Step 4, I make the list. Then I got to move on. But it's also a promise that once I do that, I will have the sunlight of the spirit. I will access power. And then I cooperate with God, just like the food, right? I have to do my part, whatever that is that I learn in step 6, to cooperate. But ultimately, God removes that, the root and the branch of all that gook. And that is such a miracle. And with that, I pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Reva P. from Canada. Next up, we have Nicole. And Nicole, just let us know your last initial and where you're calling from. Oh, wow. Forgot to turn off my timer. Thank you. Okay, Nicole, go ahead and unmute. Let us know your last initial and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Nicole S., as in Sam. I'm calling from Colorado. Thank you, Abby, for your service. And this paragraph is such a good reminder for me that I cannot just stay in that deep resentment. And I think of it's like I stew in this resentment, and you know, stews like slow cooking, and the flavor just develops slowly over time. And so when I'm staying in that resentment is just growing and growing and growing, and then I just squander my whole day, my whole life, you know, with that resentment. And that futility means like, you know, uselessness, completely ineffective. So when I'm just stewing in this deep resentment, I'm completely ineffective. I'm useless. And I can't be of any service to God, which is serving others. And all I'm just stuck in my own self. And, you know, it says the maintenance, my only hope is the maintenance and growth of you know, having that spiritual experience and having that connection with God and letting God use me, you know, and other people. And so I completely cut myself off from the spirit, and I remain in that futility. And so I have to remember that, you know, I just can't afford this resentment. And I'm so grateful for these steps that, you know, in this fourth step, we get these resentments on paper and see our part, and then we can move on. And then when I get to the later steps, and, you know, keep clearing the records of the past, and then living in steps 10, 11, and 12, and every single day, and keep clearing that channel. Whenever that resentment comes in, you know, to do a 10th step and keep that channel clear so that I'm not blocked off from God. And what a better life it is, instead of just wasting, you know, hours and days just stewing in that resentment. So thank you for letting me share.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Nicole Ask from Colorado. All right. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to share today?
Vasa O.
Claire E. from the UK.
Jessica.
David M.
Stephanie R.
Jackie M.
All right. Let's stop there. Here's who I have. Sorry if I missed you. I have Hannah Yetta, Vasa O, Claire E, Jessica, David M, Anne-Marie M, and Jackie M. I'm not sure how much we'll have time for, but let me figure that out. And in the meantime, Hannah Yetta, go right ahead. And Vasa O, you'll be after Hannah Yetta. Hanietta, just press star 1 to unmute.
My phone keeps muting while I'm... Anyway, doesn't matter.
I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yep.
All right, great. I'm Hanietta R. from Texas, and thank you, Abby, for your service. this paragraph to me is, like, really profound. It talks about... futility, unhappiness, infinite grave, fatal, it keeps going on and on, insanity of the alcohol or alcoholic foods return, and for us to eat compulsively is to die. And I just have to put this back to that in the Bible, it says that Adam and Eve, if they ate from the tree of knowledge, then they would die. Well, to me, they didn't die 6 feet under, but they were sent away from God. They were far away from God. And to me, that's the death that I feel like I have when I go back to the food. Every time I go back to the food, I get further and further away from God, my higher power that I love and respect and honor. And I So to me, this program, when I have resentments, I've got to let go of them. And the way I let go of them today, since I'm recovered in remission, I do a 10 step because I don't want to do, I don't want to die. I don't want to go back into the alcoholic foods. I don't want to ruin my life. My husband and I are finally getting along. Why? Oh, because I went back to program, you know? And, I mean, he's doing so much better, but, you know, I have to say that, you know, part of it's because I'm not belittling him either. And because I don't want to be in resentment, you know, I want to give it away. I don't want to die. And but this whole thing is a miracle, as I say. And don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. And there's one out there for everyone. New, struggling, old-timer. We all have miracles every day. Just look for them. Thank you again, Abby. I'll try. I hope I kept it shorter enough that more people can share. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, Hanietta R. from Texas. A time for everyone on this list. So Vasa O., go ahead, followed by Claire E.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Port Charlotte, Florida, and thank you, Abby, for your service. And this is it's a beautiful paragraph again. To drink is to die. To eat is to die for myself. I came in the program in 1986, and I was introduced to the Big Book because my sponsor came from AA, and we didn't have much literature in those days. I had the Brown Book. We didn't get the 12 and 12 till later, and I remember reading the stories and hearing people when they told their stories at the meetings and how I felt so at home and how much I belonged there, and I just knew, I knew it was for me. I said, for me to leave the program is to die, and I learned it was physical, emotional, and spiritual, and I thought it was just, I was thinking about the spirit, about the physical part. I just wanted to lose the weight. That's all I cared. I had the husband, I had the kids, I had the house. I felt like nothing is lacking for me. I'm dying. I'm killing myself with the food. And I didn't even know it was a food addiction. I didn't know it was a disease. I didn't know about the allergy of the body. When she gave me the Big Book, I remember saying, well, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't know why I have to read this. And she said, scratch alcohol and just put food. And it gave me so much hope. For the first time, I started having compassion about the alcoholics, you know, because I remember thinking, what's wrong with them? Why they cannot put the alcohol down, you know? And I started looking at myself, you know. Well, what is wrong with you, Vasa? You know, you're doing the same thing. You're killing yourself with the food addiction. So I ate over anything, happy, sad, angry, lonely. And I was very happy at times in my life, you know, getting married, having children, but the happiness didn't last for very long. It's the joy that I've experienced in this program that sustains with me as forever, as long as I'm, you know, doing what I'm doing. And this is it, you know, there's no graduation for me. I've been here since then and gradually working the steps. And, you know, going to the resentments, you know, yeah, I harbor resentments, you know, mostly about anger at home, you know, my husband. I was wishing that he was dead when I put the food down because he wronged me. You know, I wouldn't be angry. I wouldn't resent him if he did what I want him to do. And then I started turning around a little later, the next reading, the fifth and the sixth, you know. And, yeah, looking. And I'm not proud to say, you know, about the wrongs. You know, I'm guilty. But I did not know what I didn't know years
That's
ago.
That's time, Vasa.
Thank you very much for letting me share. I'm so grateful that I belong in Overeaters Anonymous and with the Big Book. And I love doing one paragraph at a time. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Vasa O. in Florida. Next up, we have Claire E. from the UK, followed by Jessica, and I missed your last initial, Jessica, so you'll just let us know. All right, Claire E., go right ahead.
Thanks, Abby. Thank you for your service and thank you to everyone that shared. Really enjoyed the meeting so far. I'm really grateful, actually, because I've had no Wi-Fi for the last couple of weeks. It's really nice to be engaged and able to share on the meeting, be part of. This is an amazing paragraph, and a lot of people have shared things that I've got written all over my book. Yeah, there's some spiritual algebra in here, and there's quite a bit of spiritual algebra in the big book, but we have an equation here. So we've got, to the precise extent do I permit resentment, do I squander the hours of my life that might have been worthwhile? You know, and I, you know, the permitting these. I remember one of the things that brought me back to the program 7 years ago when I was in relapse was not really the food. The food was the food. Food was just awful all the time. But it was just that I was living my entire life white-knuckling rage the entire time. It was awful. It was like this burning pit. And I knew it wasn't rational or logical, so I'd just try and repress it. So I didn't. And it would come out left, right, and centre when I'd been in the food. And, you know, that's a really miserable way to live life. You know, I knew I was wasting my life. And it was just really miserable. And I said it was the spiritual, emotional stuff that brought me back way more than the physical food. And it says right the way through the book, you know, that our only hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience. You know, that is our ticket out of here. So I can't be in resentment. I can't have food in God, and I can't have resentment in God. It just doesn't work. When I'm stuck in resentment, I can't access my higher power. And that's what I need, because otherwise I'm stuffed. I have nothing, you know. And the other bit I've got here is, you know, this business of resentment. Business. It says on the page before, I cannot fool myself about values. You know, I can't be open for business on resentment. And I was thinking at the beginning of the meeting, I had an incident earlier in the week where I got up, I did my quiet time, it was lovely. I went off to an early morning yoga class, I was feeling great. And I had this little thought pop in my head about my stepmother. And by the time I'd driven to my yoga class, that thought was a sodding great big resentment. And this, and that, and this. You know, and I can't fool myself. I can't afford to do that. And I really observed how I immediately feed my resentment with the 101 reasons that it's a perfectly acceptable thing to have that. Unfortunately, today I know I can't afford that. And what I did was a step 10. And, you know, therefore, I didn't get as far as the insanity of food, because that is what will happen. You know, as soon as I get back into that festering, self-righteous stuff, I have no spiritual solution. And then suddenly the food seems like a step up, as has been described. You know, need a bit of ease and comfort. It's just a little bit of extra this, it's just a little bit of extra that. And suddenly I'm on very slippery ground. You know, I'm shut off from that access to that higher power. So yeah, brilliant, brilliant paragraph. That whole bit of writing about resentment, I find it's something I go back to time and time and time again, because it's a bit like the step three stuff. It is what I suffer from. You know, this is what gets me into trouble. So I'll leave it there. It's great to be on the meeting. Thank you so much to everyone that's doing service.
Thank you so much, Claire E. from the UK. All right, next up we have Jessica. Let us know your last initial and where you're calling from. And then we have David M. All right, Jessica, go right ahead.
Hi, Abby. Hi. Oh.
Hi. Oh, maybe we have two Jessicas. Sorry about that.
Go ahead, Jessica.
Okay, I'll go first. All right, this is Jessica C., recovered compulsive eater from Ontario, Canada. I'll also share about how this life, which includes deep resentment, leads to futility and unhappiness. I will be having someone in my home over the holidays who I have a resentment towards. And part of that is, you know, I have this idea of what Christmas should be like, this fairy tale of everyone getting along. But what I really want is everyone to validate me. I want this person to validate me. And if people don't follow my script, then I get selfish and I retreat into myself. And I don't want to live that way anymore, like it says in this paragraph. And thank you, God, that these steps offer a way out of that bondage to self. The spiritual solution for this situation for me is revolutionary. I did speak to a counselor about being around this person for an extended period of time. And for me, those counseling techniques, they barely scratch the surface of the depth of my resentment and my fear. And I guess that's why, you know, therapy and counseling never had any effect on my compulsive eating and never changed my, you know, the fear that I have. And thank you, God, for the inventory process that we went through on the previous page, because it helps me see my part. And in this situation, actually, it was at that counseling appointment where the counselor pointed out to me that maybe I'm making this person who I'm resentful towards into my, what he called my Mount Everest. You know, this person who doesn't get along with other people, but maybe I can get them to like me. Maybe I can be pleasing enough or figure out, you know, figure them out so I can get them to like me. You know, when I realized I was doing that, it really flattened my ego and I saw my grandiosity, and it helped me see that what I really need is to ask God for the ability to accept this person. And that I have to maintain and grow my spiritual experience through challenging experiences like this. And in recovery, I can get through these times. You know, I can get through these times through other forms of escape too, you know, not just food, but gossip or avoidance. But, you know, now I can pray like heck. I can keep talking to God about this. I can do my step work and I can show up undisturbed and be around this person undisturbed to the best of my ability and have a new experience with this person over the holidays. And it may not be that fairy tale, but I believe that doing this work,
that's time.
By doing this work. Oh, yeah, I'll just wrap up that, you know, there's a new type of happiness, a deeper happiness on the other side. And I have more freedom from the bondage of self than I had before. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. Sorry about the other Jessica. I don't know which one it was, but we're going to move on to the next three on our list. We have David M., Anne Marie M., and Jackie M., and we have less than 10 minutes, so not sure we'll get to everyone, but let's try. So, David, go right ahead. David M., go ahead and press star 1 to unmute.
Thanks. Hi, David M. here. Thank you. Yeah, you know, just getting over relapse and just these past couple of days without food, I'm really, really dove in deep and with my emotions, I just was just like was really just depressed and just feeling all my feelings and depression, bitterness, anger, and I realized this is all from my mother leaving me when I was little, and I have been always eating since I was little, eating to get over these feelings, and it's not even just that, just like people like that are over me that I like that I envy, you know, like this guy's in this position, and it's like what, you know, it's just or this, you know, whatever, and I was like, I go to the food to numb those feelings, it's just I have to really bring those feelings to my higher power or therapist. One of those, mostly my higher power. But I just don't want to feel those feelings, and I'm really glad that this program's here to really help me dig in there and like really, you know, face it. And it stinks. With the steps and the program, my sponsor, my higher power, I can get through it. My fellows, I have great fellows that talk to you every couple of days. I call them for 10 steps and they're in here and, they know who they are. And, yeah, just really grateful for this program. I don't know where I would be about this program. Probably into drugs or something. Thank God. But anyway, glad to be here. Amen. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you so much, David M. All right, next up we have Anne Marie M, followed by Jackie M. Anne Marie, go ahead.
Good morning. This is Anne Marie M, miraculously recovering from compulsive overeating. I'm so grateful for that. I didn't really know what I was going to say. I just knew that I committed myself to do my best to share every third day so that I stay in the middle of the herd. I want to be known, not known like as a movie star or anything like that, but I just want to be present and to be in, this is my home group. And so with my home group, I need to participate. And so I raised my hand. I starred one. And I did hear my anger came out sideways. And that happened to me just about a month ago when I had no idea. I also heard I didn't know what I didn't know. And I had no idea the jealousy, the anger, the hurt that I was feeling. And when I wasn't connected to God and I didn't have my meal plan down packed and I hadn't been doing 10 steps, my anger came out sideways. And I really learned a lesson from that. And I'm grateful for the lessons that I'm learning, and I'm grateful for going into deeper into, learning more about myself. I also realized that I didn't have to compulsively overeat to learn all this. I could have learned it. Maybe that was God's plan, but I'm not sure God's plan was for me to compulsively overeat. That was my choice. I have to own up to that, which I do. My choice. I'm just grateful for today, and that's all I want to share, so maybe more people can share. I think I took a full 3 minutes. Thanks, Abby.
Thank you so much, Henry M. And nope, you left a minute to spare. Jackie M., we have time for one more share, like 2.5-3 minutes. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Jackie M. I'm another Michigander. I'm from Northern Michigan. And I am struggling. And this paragraph sums it up for me. I have a resentment. It's toward my sister. My sister last year did not tell me that I was invited to my cousin's for Thanksgiving. And I did confront her on it, but not in a crazy way. And she went ballistic. And I just said, if I'm invited, I want you to tell me. Anyway, this year, same thing. The lies and the secrets, and I've been very upset, but I feel like to challenge her is just going to lead to her screaming at me, and she's not going to change. My problem is that I have a huge resentment toward her, very unhappy. And it says here that we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the Spirit. And that has really happened in my life. And my food is not clean. I'm not organized or on the proper schedule. And
I'm really struggling. In fact, I had some solutions where I was going to move to another state. Okay, so, all right, calm down. That's a little extreme. And then I was going to move to a neighboring town.
Next time, Jackie.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you.
Oh, it's okay. Thank you so much, Jackie, for sharing. And grab some numbers, my fellow Michigander. All right. So it's 7:55 Eastern, and so we're going to close. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, December 19th, 2024, is 22,010. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Susan S.H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Until keep you until then.
Thank you. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to him, to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Take away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.